Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, good night, whatever time of day or day of the week you are joining here. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because I believe all lesser values than love are easily BS. And that's the BS of bait and switch, which far too many religious folks have gotten used to baiting and switching, folks. And I'm here to say to you, love is the solution to that nonsense. Let's get on with love, right? Let's get on about a revolution of love. I want to talk to you today about making sure we have taken a good, solid, searching, and fearless moral inventory so that we individually can love the world around us because we've learned to love ourselves after a fearless and searching moral inventory, all right? Now, if you've been here before for the podcast, you know that I do a few things here to get us started, keep me moving in the right direction. And that is, first, I want to lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and then I want to lead you in Love's Creed, a little creed that I wrote for myself and I'm sharing with you as well. The Lord's Prayer, to start with, it's most prayed prayer in human history, the most meditated on paragraph, I think, of any kind of meditation you've ever found before. And these truths of the Lord's Prayer really hold steady for a solid, fearless, and searching moral inventory. All right. So these words Jesus prayed, and I have in my imagination, he prayed with his eyes open because he knew he was all good with his heavenly Father. And I feel like I'm mostly all good with my heavenly Father. So I pray with my eyes open because it's a freaky experience, but it's a good one. And I invite you to join me in the wisdom of Jesus when he taught us to say these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Woo, I'm kind of caught in a beautiful vortex here of considering where I'm going to talk to you about conducting a fearless and searching moral inventory and the Lord's Prayer, and it has captured me in a sense of love and truth as it meets together. So I'll get there. Now, let me lead you in Love's Creed. It was a New Year's resolution for me over a decade ago, but now I've edited it to these words as a creed personally, and I offer it to you as well. Let me give it to you in total, then I'll go back and have you repeat after me, and I'll give it to you in short bursts like a vow. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Ooh, they're hitting me hard, these words are. Now, repeat after me. I'll give it to you just in little short bursts. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping, to regain energy, for cause. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything. That is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all lowercase, all one word, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy with no bait and switch BS. I just want to give you all the assistance I can to live a life for love alone. Well, my subject, as I said earlier, based in the fourth step of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, when on the fourth step, we conduct a fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves. Now, that requires a pretty significant level of honesty, as you can well imagine. Well, and that significant level of honesty requires a reach, perhaps not a achieving of perfection, but a reach for it. We say in recovery, this is not about perfection, it's about a process. But that process is toward, as I'll share with you in a minute, perfection. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "You are to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect." Well, wowzers. Okay, I might imagine you think that's a tall order, and it is. He's not cutting short on the aim he wants us to have in this life. I propose that any human being, alcoholic or dry and sober as a lifelong judge, would need a fearless and searching moral inventory if anything that looks like perfection is your goal, to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And in that regard, that statement by Jesus is made in the context of this. He said, "You have heard it said of old, you shall hate your enemy and love your neighbor." Now, that old references especially a passage in Leviticus where Moses gave the children of Israel this command that they are to kill the enemies. They're to hate them and kill them. Run roughshod over them, or if they didn't treat you right when you left the nation of Israel and your wilderness trek and pilgrimage, and they didn't give you a path to walk through their tribes or their national areas, well, then go back and hate them and kill them. I'm condensing that, as you can imagine. But the point was, whole people groups were to be hated because of some kind of retribution, some vengeance on the part of the people of God. Well, now Jesus shows up. Oh, my, Jesus, what are you doing? You're taking the grand words of the grand poobah of the Old Testament, Moses, who wrote five books, the Pentateuch, and you're saying, you've heard it said of old, Moses, that you shall hate your enemy and love your neighbor. But I say, now Jesus is stepping up to the plate, taps the baseball bat on the home plate, points at the fence, and he's swinging for the fence. But I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies, and you are to be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you can imagine, here I am on this broadcast. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS. Only love is credible in this wide world, and theologians need to be the lovers of God, lovers of people, lovers of their enemies, lovers of their neighbors, so that our theology is rooted not in retribution, not in getting vengeance, not in making sure we show no mercy to those who have fallen, but that our theology is rooted in love and love alone. That's what Jesus is saying here, by the way. You are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and your Father in heaven is love. So that's going to demand of us some fearless and searching moral inventory, isn't it? A specific project in our life to walk through who we are, I mean like who we really are inside, and have a pretty honest set down with me, myself, and I about what's cooking inside of me. You've heard me say it this way: what is burning in the kitchen of our soul? And if there's hatred and misery and retribution and fist shaking inside of me, I may never say a word about it on the outside of me, but inside of me, the kitchen's on fire. And Jesus suggests to us rather clearly that if I'm hating, I'm killing, because murder is born in the stove of our hatred inside. It's tough. I know it. You know, being perfect, that's tough. Now, to that end, I say to my fellow church folk, I say to you, it's important for us to recognize we are not a platform for disgust or a boot camp on how to learn to take other people's moral inventory. Hear that again. We're not a platform. We're not a place, a boot camp where we train and disciple people on how to take the inventory, the moral inventory of other people. No. The only inventory we need to be busy about and to take is our own. Imagine, John Lennon, imagine a faith group of people whose only desire is to take their own moral inventory with no desire to take anybody else's moral inventory. Imagine. We are not here to gather inside our little fortresses, I mean our brick and mortar buildings, physically or metaphorically, so that we can, inside that fortress, strategize and disciple people how to best lob our truth declarations at all the bad people. If we're doing that, this is my phrasing now, that's a self-serving vanity. And it is not, certainly is not, the perfection that Jesus is inviting us to. Jesus is inviting us to stop killing our enemies. He's inviting us to love our enemies, stop hating them and killing them. That simple. But just that hard. So no wonder I say here often, love is a marathon. Love is a pilgrimage. Love is a mountain climb. Love is doing the heavy lifting, right? I'm repeating myself, but it's important to get that in here so that you know I'm not talking about bumper sticker love. I'm talking about your body being dipped in love, and your moral inventory is deeply honest, deeply profound. You've walked it through with some reams of paper that you're typing up, or you're writing your own journal, or wherever you do your best journaling. You're getting in touch with the real you, so that we're occupied there. And I don't mean self-condemnation. I mean, as the step four of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous invites us to a searching and fearless moral inventory, not to destruct, but to reconstruct our life. And we're not doing that as some kind of capacity for getting some truth declarations for all the bad people, because that's a self-serving vanity. Our singular pursuit, dear church folk, dear Christ followers, our singular pursuit is the revolution of a profound and authentic love. That's it. But that will require of us that moral inventory that I've been referring to here. Taking good care of my interior, so that when I am seeing the bad people, I'm not actually projecting my own bad, my own brokenness, my own evil onto them, gaslighting them or finding in them what was really me on some level, and then fighting them, because that's so repugnant to me, because it is me, and I'm fighting them out of this righteous rage, righteous anger, that, that is not what Jesus is talking about when he said, you are to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Let me quickly go back a bit for the purpose of this discussion, my monologue. Perfection here is the word teleos. It's the aim. It's the highest point on the horizon that you're looking at. What I like to tell you is that what I like to say to people is my dad was a lifelong truck driver, and he had some pretty good homespun wisdom, especially as it relates to avoiding accidents. And he always taught me that when you're driving, look at the highest point in the horizon in front of you. Because when you do that, then now you're seeing left and right and near and far. Where you're going, where you are is where you're going. So if you can find a pinpoint out there in front of you, that's where you're going. If I say I want to go west, but I turn my back and go start walking east, I'm missing the point. So teleos, perfect, is to see as God sees out on the farthest horizon. That's powerful. Let me give you an example. I'm going to flip some scripts on some of my dear Bible-thumping folk. Friends, I've got them all over the place, and trust me, I got a bachelor's in science and my Bible thumping. The first murderer, Cain, and if you take the Bible verse literally there, well then, he just slaughtered 25% of humanity in killing his brother. If you take it literally, and however you take it, Cain killed Abel, rose up and killed him. God shows up, says, Cain, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. What have you done? Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? I'm not God, but I would have said, well, yes, you are. You're both your keeper of each other. But then the answer to the question is an admission on the part of Cain that he's done it. And God says, well, go your way. I'm going to put a mark of protection on you to prevent you from being harmed, because Cain complains, if you send me out from here, somebody's going to hunt me down and kill me to take vengeance on me. Listen to that carefully. Somebody's going to take vengeance on me. Well, God says, nope, I'm going to put out there that this word, that anybody that touches you touches me. Oh my goodness. So all of us Bible thumpers are put on notice. This is how God treats a murderer. Yeah. And again, if you take the Bible literally, the murderer of 25% of the human population at the time, if that's a literal story. Now, that's perfect. I mean, come on. This is God in God's perfection doing something for Cain that in our world, our retribution-based world, our unforgiving, non-searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, in our world, man, we're going to throw you in a deepest, darkest jail cell and throw away the key, you monster. We're going to bomb you. We're going to shoot you. We're going to blow you up. Look at you. What have you done? That's what God said to Cain. And God let him go free. That's perfection, folks. That's loving. That's loving your enemy. That's what God does. And I can hear the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth outside of my studio here in my headphones. No, it can't be. People have to be held accountable. Well, how much more accountability is it than you are walking this earth with love and forgiveness and your mind has been shattered, your shame has been shattered, your guilt has been eviscerated with love. And here you are, free. That's a lot of perfection and a lot of love. Paul goes into that too, and in Romans chapter 5, by the way, Paul says, you and I, we were enemies of God, and while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Ooh, there it is. That's the love factor. That's the perfection factor. I was an enemy. What kind of love is this? But it's the perfection of God. Love your enemies. And God loved Randy Dean and you and me and the world. We were enemies and Christ died for us. And then Paul takes it into other passages in the book of Romans, and he says, if your enemy is hungry, blow him up. Oh, no, that's not what he said. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. I wonder what a world would look like if all of our swords were beaten into plowshares so that we had enough food to feed all of our enemies. The prophets Isaiah and Micah prophesied clearly that they will learn war no more. They will rise up and feed their enemies, not with swords, but with the plowshares that produce an agricultural bounty. Yeah? Do you catch what I'm saying, right? Because Cain, by the way, was a farmer to start with. Abel was a herdsman. And the farmer's bloodshed was in his own field, wasn't it? And God is calling us back, isn't he, to that story of Cain and Abel. Let's each of us become now lovers of our enemies, feeding our enemies. And I now I've come full circle. That's going to require of me and of you a fearless, searching moral inventory, a fearless dive into our interior, a fearless grasp room by room inside of us, cabinet by cabinet, not for condemnation, but for the process of love, the process of the beauty of his goodness inside of us. Because the only way we stop hating is to find it on the inside of us. The only way we end this truth lobbing at the outside world is to bring truth to our inside world first and foremost, and maybe only right there, so that we cease becoming this fortress of telling folks how bad, bad, evil, sick, and wrong they are, that we become a fortress of safety, of being marked by love. I ran across a church statement from St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm going to quickly run through it. And here it is. If you are leery of church, if the word Christian feels loaded, please know you are welcome here. We are trying here not to perform or display a muscular faith that demands you fall in line. We are trying to practice a Christianity of attentive presence. Love that listens. Love that acts. Love that stands up for vulnerable populations. A love that witnesses to the dignity of our neighbors and even our enemies and says, all humans are made in the image of God. My, St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I love you. That's a hard-fought statement of purpose for your church, isn't it? Now, I'm going back to the words of Jesus. You are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, to have a teleos, a view out there that brings out there in here through a searching and fearless moral inventory. Okay, well, I've got to bring this little love plane in for a landing. And here we go. The biggest mistake we make is thinking we have time, folks. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Yeah, love those people, those enemies. Huh? Love the people you meet, everybody, your neighbors, your enemies. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now, I'm no Mother Teresa. I'm just Bishop Randy, and I'm asking you to join me. Let's go out into our world and do something beautiful, because ugly is getting done to death. Now, I want you to join me in a little breathing exercise. Before we go, get yourself as settled with your feet flat on the floor, seated comfortably, your head straight, as straight as you possibly can, and hands on your lap, and close your eyes if you'd like, and take the deepest inhale breath of love you possibly can, to go into the interior, not just your physical lungs, but the kitchen of your soul. On the count of three. One, two, three. Deep breath in with love. Out with hate and fear, anxiety and retribution. Out with it. Be done with it. Let's commit ourselves to being perfect. Yeah, perfect. And perfection is a process. But you've got to have your eyes on the highest point in the horizon in front of you, because where you're going is where you are. That's the answer I give to people about, am I going to heaven or hell? My answer to that is, where are you right now? And if where you are now is hell, well, let's change your location. Let's lift your eyes. Lift your eyes to love. Lift your eyes to see forgiveness and grace and kindness, the beauty of God. Even if you're a Cain who's just killed Abel, lift your eyes higher, a little higher now, and see the perfection of God. And that's where you're going. That's heaven. Hell is living within the 6 inches of your, between your ears, that self-condemnation, self-retribution, that self-work of pulling yourself down. No, that's not a fearless and searching moral inventory. That's shame. And the assignment of shame is to detach us from our destiny. So let's raise our sights by doing a searching and fearless moral inventory. All right? Now, to close today, I'm inviting you to get involved with a practice that I call the three most holy, magical, charmed, disturbing words in the human language. Yeah, they'll turn your apple cart right upside down. I love you. It's weird. It's rattling. And as I've said here before, my father told me when I was right about almost 19, for the first time, he said, I realize I've never told you I love you. And it altogether made me mad and set me free at the same time. It started a process of freedom. And that's the way it will be for all of us on some level. Rip you from east to west, north and south, and then fill you back up with compassion and kindness and, oh my goodness, I matter. So if we can learn to say those three words, I love you, in a determined, intented, and authentic way, We're on our journey here to set our own life free as we set others free from throwing truth bombs at people. And the only thing we have are those three words. I love you. Make eye contact. Slow it down. And find yourself in the middle of a life lived for love alone. while people look back at you and say, what just happened? All right, I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. It's a pleasure, it's an honor to have a half an hour of your life and time. Go out there and do something beautiful, y'all. Happy trails, and God bless.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.